How many of you were here on Wednesday night? Okay. There was a word that came forth on Wednesday night that the Lord brought to my mind yesterday. Because I had already, normally when I do a message, I prepare notes. And I send them to Donna so she can post them on the internet, on the website, so other folks will have access to them. So I had already sent her what I thought was going to be the message for this morning. And the Lord yesterday started working in my heart about some of the things that he had said on Wednesday night about us being his Goshen. And so I sent Donna an email. I said, Donna, I think we're going to go in a different direction. And I said, I hope that's not a problem. She said, not a problem at all. Okay? So this morning, we're going to talk about you are my Goshen. For those of you who weren't here on Wednesday night, let me read the word to you, and then we'll get into the message. He says the body of Christ is following the siren song, and you know that the siren song from Greek mythology, the siren song would pull you over into destruction, those who would hear it as they are traveling on the seas. The Lord says the body of Christ is listening to the siren song. They're listening to the siren song. He says, I've done everything I can to get them to hear my voice and not the siren song. He says his heart is hurting. His heart is hurting because he has a people who are not listening to him. They're following the siren song. They're following the voice of the enemy. And the days are going to get darker before they get brighter because more and more of the folks in the body of Christ are walking away and they don't know they're walking away. They don't realize that they're breaking their father's heart. But he says everyone is not like that. There are still those in the body who are listening to me, and he says they are trying not to harden their hearts to those who are leaving. And he says, I'm going to strengthen you so that your heart can remain tender, your heart can remain unjudgmental. He says, because I need those of you who are still listening to my voice to love those who are seemingly walking away from me. I love them, but I ache. And he says, those of you who pay attention to what's written in my word know that what I am describing to you is not what was not expected. And then we prayed a little bit, we worshiped a little bit, and then the Lord just reminded me, do you remember when all the plagues struck Egypt, but the folks in Goshen, nothing affected them at all? And then the Lord says, you are my Goshen, you are my Goshen. So that was the word that the Lord gave on Wednesday night. I came over to church on Thursday because I tried to get involved with some of the things at the Bible college, making CDs, making tapes, things like that. And of course, Cindy was here, and she had already gone back into Scripture and looked up some of the references to Goshen. And so she was sharing some of that with me. And I listened to her, and we talked about that a little bit. And then I didn't think anything more about it until about 2 o'clock on Saturday is when the Lord started talking to me about it again. And so I got into the Word, saw what he was trying to share with me, and I think that it's going to be some things that's really going to help you understand why he says you are my Goshen. Okay? So turn with me, Genesis 45. In Genesis chapter 45, we're going to begin with verse 10. And in verse 10, Scripture says, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, and thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Okay? Now, this is what Joseph, the message that he sent to his father. Okay? So, because at that time, the famine was 2 years into a 7-year period. And so, there was no food, no grain or anything in Canaan. And that's where Jacob and everyone lived. And so, Joseph then sent for his family to come to Egypt so he can take care of them. Now remember, the Lord said that you are my Goshen. Okay? Look at what Joseph said. Okay? Verse 10, he says, thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Okay? The word dwell means to remain or abide. Remain or abide. Okay? It's the same word that Scripture uses in Psalm 91, Alice. And when she said that this morning, I said, oh, man. You know how God connects dots for you to let you know that, you know, what you're about to talk about is right on, and thank you, Alice. That word that says, if when you dwell in the secret place of the Almighty, that's the same word as the word dwell here. You abide, you remain. And we know that when you read about dwelling in the secret place of the Almighty, the whole point is you stay. You never leave. You never leave, okay? Because when you leave the secret place of the Almighty and you're no longer dwelling there, you do not get the benefits of being in that secret place. So Joseph is telling his family that when you get here, this is where you are going to be, okay? Now, Goshen was about 15 miles outside of Egypt, okay? Joseph had a palace on the north side of Egypt, and Goshen was between Canaan and Egypt. So it was about 15 miles outside of Egypt, okay? So we see then in verse 10, you will dwell, you will abide, you will remain in Goshen, okay? The second thing he says, and thou shalt be near unto me. Do you see that? To be near unto me, okay? That means to be near in terms of a place, okay? It means to be near in terms of time, person, relationship. So Joseph is saying that once you get to Goshen, when you're in Goshen, you're going to be near to me so that I can take care of you. Okay? So we see that the Lord, in his reference to you are my Goshen, it means a place that I want you to continue to remain in terms of your relationship with me. Okay? And then look at the third thing he says, and this is in verse 11. And there will I nourish thee. And there will I nourish thee. The word nourish means to keep, to maintain, to sustain. Okay? So we see then in Goshen, the Lord has provided us a dwelling place. Okay? When you got born again, you receive this life in nature. That is your dwelling place. Okay? The second thing is, he says, when you're in Goshen, you are going to be near me. You're going to be near me. Okay? And then the third thing is, when you're in Goshen, I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to provide for you. And I want you to see what the last part of verse 11, and it just kind of wraps up so neatly. It says, there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to what? Poverty. Do you see that, ladies and gentlemen? Joseph told his family that while you're in Goshen, I'm going to provide everything you need while you are in Goshen. Okay? And because when you're in Goshen, when I'm providing for you, then you're not going to come to poverty. You're not going to come to lack. God said on Wednesday night, you are my Goshen. Now, remember, Egypt is 15 miles away from Goshen. Okay? And we're going to see this more clearly in a few minutes. But God says, you are my Goshen. I am going to take care of you. I'm not concerned about Egypt. I'm concerned about you. I'm going to take care of you. Okay? There are a lot of us being folks in the body of Christ, who are really concerned about what's going on right now in the country and all this talk about the economic things that are going on and all this kind of stuff. We're going to see when we look at some of the records, and it won't take long, that in Egypt a lot of things happened that Egypt took a down tail spin. In Goshen, it was not like that. So what I'm saying to you is this. If God is going to tell you that you are my Goshen, he's telling you that you are mine. Whatever happens that does not belong to me, that happens to them, not to mine. So we can be confident in any situation that we have that God is going to take care of us. He's going to sustain us. He's going to provide for us. It doesn't matter what the economy does. It doesn't matter. The economy is a separate issue. I mean, if God can provide for a stiff-necked people for 40 years on manna, and their clothes never tore up and never wore out, I don't think he, you know, he's limited in what he can do today. Do you? Okay. So we see then on the very first reference to Goshen, God is saying, I'm taking care of you. Because when I take care of you, you don't get into poverty. You don't have lack. Okay? Joseph deliberately chose Goshen for his family. Now, I have a question for you. Do you think Joseph chose Goshen all on his own? I don't think so. I don't think so. Hold your finger here and go to chapter 50. See, Joseph knew something that he shared with the children of Israel just before he died. Verse 22. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. And what did he want them to do? Carry my bones from hence. So God had already given Joseph a revelation that the children of Israel would not remain in or near Egypt. He had already given them a revelation. So if he had already given them that revelation, do you think that maybe, perhaps, he had already shown him some other things that were going to happen all along the way, and that's why I want my children in Goshen and not in Egypt? Something to think about. Now turn to Genesis chapter 46. Talk a little bit more about Goshen, beginning with verse 28. And he sent Judah before him, Jacob did, before him unto Joseph to direct his face into Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen. Now Goshen was about 900 square miles. Not a big place, but about 900 square miles. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen and presented himself unto him. Have you noticed that when Scripture talks about Jacob in his relationship to God, he's Jacob. But when he talks about in relationship to the promise, who is he? He's Israel. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet his father to Goshen and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Because Joseph hadn't seen his father in almost, you know, 30 years. Okay, so he was glad his father was still living. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, my brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed the cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That ye say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth, even unto now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Isn't that interesting? That shepherds were an abomination to Israel. What was Jesus? What was David? But shepherds were an abomination to Israel. A shepherd in God's mind and eye is a person who he can deal with. is a person who he talks to, a person who he leads. Egypt didn't like shepherds. Isn't that something? And you wonder why they had the problem that they had, beginning in chapter 47. Look at verse 1. We're going to start to get into really seeing how Goshen was different, was separated from Egypt. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen." And he took some of the brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. So he took five of his brothers and brought them to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said unto his brethren, "What is your occupation?" And they said unto Pharaoh, "Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." They said moreover unto Pharaoh, "For to sojourn in the land we are come." Do you see the word sojourn? They knew that, yes, we dwell in Goshen, but it's not going to be a permanent place for us, Pharaoh. Okay? I want you to understand that when the Lord calls us his Goshen, wherever we go, Goshen goes. You see that? Goshen may have been the place, but if we are his Goshen, when we leave, Goshen is leaving too. Okay? Goshen is leaving too. Because remember, Goshen was the place that the Lord kept near him. Goshen was the place where we dwell, and Goshen was the place where God took care of us. So if we are Goshen, then if Barry is Goshen, Barry right now lives in Beaver Creek, but Barry is Goshen and Barry moves to Michigan, Goshen goes to Michigan. Okay? You get the analogy? Okay. Verse 5. Pharaoh spake to Joseph, saying, "The father and thy brethren are coming to thee, and the land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell." What was the best of the land? Goshen. Okay? "In the land of Goshen let them dwell, and if thou knowest any men of activity, or any men who have skills, trades, among them, make them rulers over my cattle." Look at verse 7. "And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh." And what was the first thing Jacob did? He blessed him. He blessed him. He blessed him. Verse 8. "And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage." Do you see the word pilgrimage? Remember we just read the word sojourn? Pilgrimage. Okay? "Are 130 years. I'm going to stop there for just a minute. If the body of Christ could grasp the understanding of what it means to be a pilgrim, then the things that we hold near and dear to us in this life wouldn't carry the same weight. You know, we're so fond to say, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." The angels, all this. But we don't live that way. We don't live that way. We live as if all we have right now is what we have. That we're not pilgrims. We're not passing through. Okay? You know, when you are a pilgrim, you are prepared to move when you need to move. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to pick on Barry. It would not be very easy for me to move right now. I had to sell my house. No? You had to sell your house. You had to probably do a whole lot of things in order to move. But when you have the mindset of a pilgrim, when you have the mindset that you will go where God tells you to go, because that's what Jacob did, where God told him to go, he went, then you would have a different mindset when it comes to possessions. When it comes to this belongs to me, this belongs to you. God says it all belongs to me. Okay? So we see just in two verses, Abraham blessed a leader who was not in agreement with him. Did y'all catch that? He blessed a leader that was not in agreement with him. And then he also recognized that This life for him is a journey. And so far in his journey, he's reached 130 years of that journey. Okay? I'm 55. I'll be 56 in December, in October. So I'm 55 years on my journey. Okay? Judy's a little bit older on her journey. Cindy's a little bit older on hers. But you're on a journey nevertheless. This is not your life. This is not your life, ladies and gentlemen. This is not your life. You are here for one reason and one reason only: to save the lost. That's why you are here. That's what you, to save the lost. That's why you are here. So it's not about you. It's about God and what he wants. And when you are a pilgrim, when you know you're just passing through, my treasures are laid up, treasures being rewards that you get because you're doing things for God and you're passing through. See how we sing songs like that, and it's a good song, but we don't really pay much attention to it. You know, our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Why? Because right now we're just passing through. But see, and I am not going to dwell on this. Many of us are passing through and dragging our treasure. You know, we don't want to let go of treasure, so we're dragging it with us. Oh, Lord. Okay. Verse 9. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out before him. Now jump down to verse 27. Now, in between verse 10 and verse 27, the people in Egypt have gotten so desperate that it says that money has failed. Okay, money has failed. In other words, they have gone to Joseph so many times with their money that they no longer have money to go to Joseph with to get grain. So they have no more money. They're destitute. And then after money fails, Joseph said, okay, I will take your cattle and your horses in exchange for food. They've taken the cattle, the horses, all their possessions in exchange for food. By the time we get down to verse 27, the folks in Egypt and all the land, they have nothing else to give but themselves. And so they go to Joseph and say, we don't have any money. We don't have any more possessions. All we have is ourselves. We will give ourselves to Pharaoh. We will be his slaves, his servant, if he would just feed us. Okay? Now remember all this. Now look at verse 27. The land of Goshen versus Egypt. Verse 27. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt in the country of Goshen. And they had what? Therein and grew and multiplied exceedingly. Do you see that? What did everyone else not have? Possessions. Because they had to give everything up in order to eat. And you remember back in verse 12, Joseph said, I am going to feed you. Okay, let's go back and look at it. Maybe we didn't look at verse 12. Let's look at verse 12. And verse 11, and Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses. So Goshen was also known as the land of Ramesses. And Pharaoh, as Pharaoh had commanded, Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all the father's household with the bread according to their families. So Joseph gave them bread, which means they didn't have to give up possessions in order to live. Are you seeing the picture? God is saying, listen, you are my Goshen. You are my sons. You are my daughters. there is nothing that you have to give to me in order for me to take care of you. But see, so many of us in the body of Christ, we don't recognize that. We still believe that we have to give in order to get. And God is saying, even in this example here, that I am not requiring anything of you because I love you and my promise to you is to take care of you. Okay? So we see that here in chapter 47, thinking about Goshen, us, versus those who are not in Goshen, how they don't have possession because they had to give everything up just to live. And God makes it a point to know that the children of Israel not only lived, not only kept their possessions, but they grew and they multiplied. Okay? Look in 50 verse 8. Now when Israel died, then everyone in Joseph's family except for the children and the cattle, verse 8, all of the house of Joseph and his brethren and his father's house, only their little ones and their flocks and their herds they left in the land of Goshen, okay, to go bury their father. That's the last reference to Goshen, I think. Okay? Now, go to Exodus chapter 8. What does it mean to live in the land of Goshen? In Exodus chapter 8, in the first part of the chapter, the frogs have been unleashed on Egypt. Okay? They were everywhere. And they were in the waters. They just covered the land. And you know what's so funny is the magicians of Egypt, in an effort to try to get rid of the frogs, they produced more frogs. Okay? They'll let you know who was in charge. And so Pharaoh calls Moses and say, can you get rid of the frogs, please? And I will let you go so you can serve your God. And so Moses did. The frogs died. And then, of course, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and they didn't let them go. And so then the next thing we see in chapter 8 are lice. Okay? Now, I don't have to tell you much about lice because remember, there are some of us when we grew up, we had lice in our hair and all that. You know, just hard to get rid of. Can you imagine having so much lice that it was lice, they were everywhere? Everywhere. Covering your clothing, your skin, your everywhere. Getting in your ear sockets, everywhere. You're afraid to open your mouth. They'd get in. You had to wear something over your nose to keep from getting everywhere. Okay? And so they brought forth the lice, and the magicians, bless their heart, they were going to try to get rid of the lice too and just added more lice. Okay? Now look at verse 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Let my people go. No way, I'm sure he didn't say it like that, but hey, it was worth it. Let my people. You know, you got to have fun. You got to have fun. Let my people go that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants, and upon thy people and into thy houses, and in the house of all the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. Now, you see where it says, of flies, I have a King James. Of flies is in italics. Do you know it's possible that a swarm could be something else other than a fly? I don't want to hazard a guess, but I know it's not good. Okay? So it says, swarm of flies translated added to the King James, and also the ground whereon they are. Verse 22, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen. Do you see that? The Lord says, I am going to mark out Goshen. I'm going to make Goshen separate. I'm going to make it distinct so that you won't see any flies in Goshen. Okay, look at verse 23. I'm going to come back. between my people and thy people, tomorrow shall this sign be. You see that? God is saying that when the flies come, you're going to see tomorrow that there are no flies in Goshen. Let's say, for example, that the church was Goshen, okay? The house next door was Egypt. You could look across the land. You could see the flies, the swarm all over Egypt. There is nothing here. There is nothing here. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, that what we are describing are attacks of the enemy. And God is telling us that the attacks of the enemy don't have to affect us if we stay in Goshen. Okay? Because, see, we're going to see on part of the last thing we read that was one of the conditions. You have to stay in Goshen in order to get God's protection and blessing. Okay? So in verse 22 says, I will sever, I will make a difference between Goshen, and you're going to see it on the very next day. And then verse 23, he says, and I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. Okay? That word division means deliverance. It means redemption. It means ransom. In other words, God is saying that I am going to rescue my people from this swarm of flies so it won't affect them. God wants to take care of us. He really does. But see, we have to help him. We have to help him. And see, we can't live a life that's not godly and expect God to help us. Did you hear me? What concord has light with darkness? And if you are not living a life that's holy, if you're not living a life the way God wants you to live it, how can you expect him to bless you? Okay? You cannot be for something that God is against and expect him to bless you. You all are smart people. In the current climate that we live in, there are a lot of folks who are accepting something that God says, I don't like. And yet, they'll go to church. They're at church today, raising their hands, telling God how much they love him, how much they care about him, and how they're doing everything he wants them to do. And yet, they are supporting abomination. And they want God to bless them. I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to happen. I'll take this side trip and I'll stop. In Romans chapter 1, God lists a lot of things that are abominations to him in Romans chapter 1. When you get toward the end of Romans chapter 1, he says that those, and I'm going to use Barry's words, those who accept and support these things are in danger of losing their salvation. Did you hear me? When you accept things that God says are not acceptable, you are on a slow path away from him. And if you stay on that path away from him by accepting the things that he does not accept, you can pretty soon walk your way out of your salvation. Go back and read Romans chapter 1. You get to the last part of that chapter. That's what it tells you. But we don't seem to believe that God's word is true. And it is. That was meant for somebody, because that was not part of what I was going to talk about today, okay? Look at chapter 9. Again, We're going to look very quickly at how God made a difference between Goshen and Egypt. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as has not been seen in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. What he's saying is, from the time that Egypt was first built, there has never been a hail like they're going to see. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh, so we had folks who were serving the Pharaoh, they believed what the word of God says. He who feared what the word made, he who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire rain. Fire ran along the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Only in the land of Goshen. Look in chapter 10. Look at verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness that may be felt. I have no idea. I can't even imagine what darkness that you can feel, what it's like. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. What's the next word? But all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. Praise God. They had light. And it doesn't mean that they had lamps burning. It's they had light in their dwelling. We're talking outside light, you know, like we see right now. That's what he's talking about. They had light. Can you imagine the children of Israel in Goshen looking, you know, they got all this light and they're looking over to Egypt and said, boy, it's kind of dark over there. Man, I can't see nothing. I don't see anybody moving. Well, you know, man. Oh, well. Chapter 11, verse 7. We're getting close, Jason. I love picking on Jason. Chapter 11, verse 7. But against any of the children, in verse 11, in chapter 11, verse 7. I think you have verse 8, but it's really verse 7. It says, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog. What he's talking about is God has said, I'm going to bring one last plague. And it's the plague of the death of the firstborn, of man, beast, of everything. But in verse 7 he says, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth make a difference between Egyptians and Israel. Okay? Now let's close in chapter 12. And the Lord in verse 1 spake unto Moses. Do you see how we've read so far? Excuse me. How God treated Goshen different than how Egypt was treated? Okay. Do you think that for those of us who believe God and stand on his word and we're doing our best to be obedient, we're going to be treated the same way as those who do not believe? Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto the house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts in the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the purities thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girt, with your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat the haste, for it's the Lord's Passover. Why? Because you are a sojourner, and you are a pilgrim. Verse 12. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. It was in Goshen that the shed blood of the lamb was placed on the doorpost and caused death to pass over. Who is our lamb? Who shed his blood for us? His blood has been put on the doorpost of our hearts. And now spiritual death has passed over us. Okay? Now, did you notice the one difference here of all the plagues? This one could have affected Goshen. Let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen. If they had not put the blood over, okay, their firstborn would have died just like everyone else. Everyone else. So what am I saying to you about the blood and the firstborn in the land of Goshen? The reason that the firstborn in Goshen did not die is because the people believed what Moses said. And not only did they believe what Moses said, they did what Moses said. God has given us a book that has everything we need to live according to the way he wants us to live if we believe what it says and then if we do what it says. Remember, James says faith without works is dead. It's one thing to believe God, but it's another thing to do what God wants you to do. There are a lot of us in the body of Christ who say we believe God, but when you look at our lives, it's not reflecting what God wants us to do. But see, when you're in the land of Goshen, you will not only believe God, you will do what God wants you to do. Because he nourishes you, he takes care of you, he's near to you, and you are dwelling in the same place he is dwelling. Now, I don't know about you, but that word that he gave us on Wednesday means just a little bit more to me now than it did Wednesday night. Amen? Everyone, please stand.